The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
You all, but it's looking like hunting season on First Take. Ray Lewis looking like a young buck. The man doesn't age, ready to go play. The Hall of Famer joining us now, and he's also on the advisory board of the Professional Fighters League as well, the PFL. We'll get into that in just a bit. Ray, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you guys for having me. Max,
what's up, Steven, Big Time? What's going on, Big Time? How you doing, man? I mean, looking buffed as always.
I always say, stay ready. You ain't never got to get ready.
That's first what I like. Team all-time all-NFL defense.
Max, what's up, man? What's
going on, Ray?
Everything's good.
All right, Ray, let's start with your Ravens, because we've talked about this ad nauseum on this show. Obviously, yeah. We all love your quarterback, Lamar Jackson. He's something special. But be honest, can he take this team to a Super Bowl? Can they win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson as the quarterback and these passing struggles people talk about?
Yeah, I think you can, but I think you have to surround him around the things that he needs. You know, you think about anytime you get into the playoffs, right? You're dealing with a Patrick Mahomes, all of these type of guys who's throwing the ball to legit wide receivers, right? And we have to add to Hollywood Brown. We have to add to the tight end collection. We have to put a guy at the X position, at the Z position, you know? And so when you think about how do you help Lamar, you have to put pieces around Lamar to help Lamar. If you think about, you know, I get it, right? That we're the number one rush team in football the last 2 years. And that's great. That's great to be able to do that. But to go to the next level, you're gonna have to have a big play X or Z on the outside that gives Lamar, takes a lot of pressure off Lamar when Lamar is doing what he does. So yeah, can he do it? Absolutely. But you're gonna have to surround him around the right pieces for sure.
I completely agree with you, Ray Lewis. I think anybody that knows football would completely agree with you. So I'm gonna put you somewhat on the spot with this question here. Considering how obvious it appears, I like Eric DaCosta, and we always talk about the players, but we got to talk about the greatness of Ozzie Newsome, because for years, obviously, he oversaw this franchise, and he walked away in 2018. I'm saying, hey, wait a minute. I don't know if that's a question we would be asking if Ozzie Newsome was still at the helm. I know you talked about what the Baltimore Ravens need to do. Are you confident they'll be able to do what you just suggested?
You know what? Even though Ozzie has, you know, stepped down from his role, one of the things he will never step away from the game. And I think he still has influence when it comes to Eric, right? I think he really still gives him advice when it comes to that. But look, I think the organization in general, everybody has to know that when you have a talent and you have a skill like Lamar Jackson, the bottom line is make him happy. How do you make him happy? You bring in those type of receivers that he can be comfortable with and he can grow with. And so I think Eric and all of the Ravens organization, I think they understand that has to be priority in this year's draft for sure.
Right. I just got done talking about the Packers, how they can address their needs in the draft. But the Ravens also look set up to do that. And it's a deep draft for wideouts, which is certainly what they need, a dynamic weapon. What do you think about your quarterback backing up, probably backing up, or that's the idea anyway, in Philly?
Joe Flacco.
That's right. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's him. You forgot about him?
I think
what else can I be talking about?
When you think about a big arm, right, that's the one thing that the guy has, right? He has a freaking cannon. And if you think about what Philly's struggles are, right, how do you get the ball downfield? That's the new game, right? That's the new game that everybody is now playing and bought into, right? Which is what made the Super Bowl so lopsided, right? Because Patrick Mahomes was known for the big ball downfield. And, right, they took that away from them, right? So when you think about Joe Flacco, it's that big arm that people are really attracted to that can throw, that can make any throw on the football field. So I can see why they would bring him up as a backup in Philly for sure.
Ray, you'll be very happy with the subject that I'm about to bring up, because you've sounded off on this issue on many, many occasions. And that is, you know, basically the NFL being so damn soft, just doing everything it can to help offenses and not taking care of defenses the way that it should. Every damn penalty under the sun gets called against y'all. You complained about that years ago. I want to know how you're feeling about the overall NFL game now, particularly as the defensive side of the ball is officiated.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to watch the game, right? If you go back, I'm gonna just give you a few names, and you guys tell me why you remember them. When you think about Jack Lambert, when you think about Dick Bucks, when you think about Mike Singletary, when you think about Ronnie Lott, when you think about those type of players, what do you think about? You think about physical football. You think about having defenders, having receivers, and offensive coordinators fear you, because on the other side you can deliver that hit. But now, Steven, Max, we're talking about. I turned the TV off in the Super Bowl once they made those cute calls against Kansas City, because you can't call those type of calls. But that's the way the game has gone, and the essence of the game, right? The essence of the game is you buckle both chin straps up and you pay a price if you come across the middle, and that isn't the answer anymore, man. And it's just really hard to watch football, even from the collegiate level. The collegiate level frustrates me the most, right? Because these kids, they bust their behind, and you don't know these kids' situations. And they make one mistake, and it's not a mistake, because it's the only way to play the game. You have to have your head. Your head is on your shoulders. Your head is not going to move. So you have to play the game, guys. And to see them kick a kid out of the game, to see them kick him out for the second, it's outrageous.
Of a playoff game.
Yeah. It's just you can't do the game like that, because you dilute it, right? And every day, like guys like myself having these conversations, and honestly, guys, seriously, it's just hard to watch, man. It's really hard to watch, yeah.
Well, someone who's easy to watch, Ray, is, you know, I talked about you are all first team, all-time NFL defense. Think of guys like LT, you know, when I was a kid, Bruce Smith, more recent years, J.J. Watt, you know, back in the day, Reggie White. We're talking about the greatest front seven guys of all time. But one of them is still playing, and still playing at a very high level, and that's Aaron Donald. First team, as far as I'm concerned, all time, all NFL defense. What are your thoughts watching Aaron Donald today?
Straight animal. Listen. Aaron is one of those people that you run to the TV to watch, right? And they come around every few years, but he's, because his motor never stops. And you know what he's figured out? Seriously, the cameras can be wherever they want to be. It's a one-on-one battle. If you watch him, how he plays the game one speed. Why? Because the people that's in front of him, he know he's outworking most of them. He's outworking every one of them. So when you watch him, you're not only just watching a dominant player, you're watching a skillful player, right? If you watch Aaron Donald hands, right? And then this is for a young kid who don't understand how he gets so many sacks. Watch how active his hands are. And when you, as a defensive player, you just named Reggie White, you named Bruce Smith, you named Lawrence Taylor, Derek Thomas, those guys were magicians when it came to using their hands. And that's what makes Aaron Donald so dominant, right? He doesn't need to be 6'5". He doesn't need to be 6'6". His height on where he is keeps his pad level so up under the offensive lineman, he changes the entire game every time. That's why he's so disruptive, right?
Best defensive tackle ever? Is he the best defensive tackle ever?
That's a hard conversation to put him in at this young of a stage in his career. It's just too many guys that's come before that that's done some things that I've seen that is just unbelievable, Ray, from a defensive tackle position.
Ray, let me take this to a macro level, sort of going back to what I mentioned earlier. When you saw the kid, I know you lamented the calls that were made against the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. But nevertheless, it had to touch your heart in a beautiful way. Even though I know how much respect you got for Tom Brady, but it had to touch your heart in a beautiful way to watch Tampa's defense. do what it did to remind us all how important defense is to the game. What did Kansas City and that high-powered offense losing the Super Bowl in the dominant fashion that Tampa Bay beat them up with, what did that do for the game of football moving forward in your mind?
I'm going to tell you what it does, Stephen, and it does what it should have done. The general behind that defense is Todd Bowles. What Todd Bowles done with that defense, I'm telling you guys, like, and that's why you watch, I was watching you guys earlier, them bringing all of those guys back. They know what they have, right? They have a chance to go back and do it again and again until people stop it, because what Todd Bowles done with that defense, when you got Devontae Davis and you got that, them boys running around behind pseudonym and Barrett and JPP on the outside, man, let me tell you something. When you have a front seven that dominant, listen to me, you don't have to blitz nobody. All you have to do is make sure the ball does not get over your head and let them front seven and let that front four hunt the way that they hunted in the Super Bowl. So let me tell you, now, I was mad about those calls. When you talk about defensive football, when you talk about dominating a Super Bowl, you got to remember, Stephen, hey, don't go too far. 20 years ago in that same stadium, Raymond James Stadium, they didn't score. The Giants didn't score. And to watch Kansas City not score, Todd Bowles and that defense wins championships. We can keep talking about me. All we want to.
Had to remind me about the Giants Super Bowl, the one I wish they never made.
Yes, he did.
That's the one Super Bowl I wish they never made.
I didn't mean to bring that up, Max. I'm sorry.
That Ravens defense.
We all got wounds.
That was a young Ray Lewis.
Ray.
Young.
Let me ask you this. We're also huge MMA fans, obviously, on this show. Tell me about your role with the PFL and why you decided to get involved.
Yeah, I tell you, when I met Peter, just having conversations with Peter. Listen, anybody who knows my story know that my passion was probably wrestling. You know, it was my most dominant sport. I won a state championship in 1993, national championship, Greco-Roman freestyle. So all of the things that you do with your hands and the capabilities that I took to the football field, that started from the wrestling mat. So when PFL reached out to me, I was like, this is my passion. It's like, this is what I do. And one of the reasons that I really like it, right, is that it's more focused on the actual athlete. Right, the actual fighter, right? They're making 50% of the revenue. Like, you're giving them a real opportunity. And then for me, from a leadership side, being able to sit beside Randy Couture and have the opportunity, right, to pick his brain and teach leadership, because leadership at any level, at any sport, is still leadership, right? And so that's why I think my role will play a big role in what the PFL is doing. But Molly, I tell you, one of the exciting things that I really like is the format, right? Because for the first time, you have a format, just like the NFL. It's a playoff system. And that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants a fair chance, right? Give us a playoff system. It's why college football has went that route with the playoff system. Because, you know, you get three undercards, right? The way MMA has it, you get three undercards, then you get one main card. Right now you have the intrigue back again. PFL brings the intrigue back into it. Like, everybody starts in the regular season, you get to the postseason, and then you get to the other side of it. And guess what? You can make some great money along the way. And so for me, sitting on the board, I was really excited just meeting with Peter and going over them with everything that we were talking about doing, because it's another option. Guys, ladies, there's not a lot of options, right? It's only 1% mixed in the National Football League, NBA, MLB, all of these things. So the MMA, that's another option, and the PFL gives them another option. Well, that's why I'm excited.
Ray Lewis, I'm a renaissance man. I'm a renaissance man, bro. And not only am I on television, but if you need me to, I can be an agent. I can be an agent, Ray Lewis. You understand? I mean, I know you're about 45, if I remember correctly. About 45. You're about to turn 46 in May. But Ray, you look buff. You look in good shape.
All of
there's wrestling.
Business.
There's the UFC. I mean, have you thought about doing some of this stuff yourself? Like you said, you know what? You ain't got to get ready when you are ready. I don't know what the hell you said. I remember something along those lines. You ready, right? What about
ready,
that, Ray?
So you don't have to get ready. It's sugar-free. Come on. You got to know that. That's classic.
There you go, Molly. There you go, Molly.
Ray, this
Molly,
is coming from a guy.
Come on.
This is coming from a guy, Stephen A. Smith, was shadow boxing, had his arm in a sling for a month. Shadow boxing.
Listen, I said I'm an agent. Oh, I could be a promoter. I could be like Bobby the Brain Heenan from the World Wrestling Federation.
You know,
I can do it, Ray Lewis. I can represent you, bro. That's what I'm trying to say. I ain't talking about myself. I ain't fighting. I'm talking about you, Ray.
Keep those chairs right under the ring.
Steven, I don't know if I'm in the business of letting nobody hit me in my face.
Oh, you can wrestle. You take him to the death. Take him down to the ground.
I'm a mat person, so I'm back on the mat. Yeah, so I've been back on the mat for a while. I've been doing a lot on the mat. So
I'm just telling you,
let's
man.
Let's just say this. Let's just say this. Who knows what happens?
That's what I'm saying, right? That's what I'm saying, right?
Talk this man Goldberg played
football.
You talked him right back into
Goldberg
combat.
Goldberg played football with prime time. You understand? He wasn't Ray Lewis, and the next thing you know, he's been one of the biggest world wrestling stars ever. Okay? You can do it, Ray. I'm telling you.
Who knows? Who knows?
I represent you. I'll be the bad manager.
Steven, that's what I do. Ray you know what hits people.
Holding
and Ray hits people. He's not the one that needs to get hit.
Right.
But I'll tell you what, all that grappling, wrestling, Muay Thai, the whole thing, that is the real deal.
That's some
intense workout. That's no joke. That's
Molly.
A different kind of shape.
All right.
Yeah, what's up?
UFC, you going to watch that fight Saturday night, Ray?
Yeah, I'm big on it. I'm big on it.
Miocic and Ghana, who you got?
I'll text you my answer.
All right. Okay. I want to know.
All right. Ray, thanks so much. This was a lot of fun. Come join us again.
Absolutely, I will. It's so good to see you guys. Max, you guys take care, man. Steve, y'all be good. All right.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Gentlemen, some breaking news for you. Our Adrian Wojnarowski tweeting this hot off the presses. Here's the deal. The Bulls land Nikola Vucevic and Al-Farouq Aminu for Otto Porter, Wendell Carter Jr., and two first-round picks. Huge addition for Chicago, who remains in pursuit of Lonzo Ball. The Magic are moving toward a rebuild now with the Aaron Gordon deal on deck. Mr. Smith, you are up first. Talk to me.
This is big time. Because, see, Vucevic can play. That's number one. Number two, you kept Zach LaVine. Markkanen hasn't gone anywhere yet. I like his promise. And so when you look at that, the fact that Billy Donovan's your coach and some of the things that you're doing there, clearly the Bulls are trying to make some noise in terms of upgrading their roster. Gar Foreman, John Paxson, they struggled a lot in the latter years before they departed. The bottom line is what you're looking at right now is a Chicago Bulls team that has put everybody on notice that we're trying. We're trying to do it because I love Zach LaVine. Love Zach LaVine. I think Zach LaVine is a star in this game. When you consider his athleticism, his hops, he can shoot the J. He's averaging 28 on better than 50% shooting and better than 42% shooting from three-point range. Zach LaVine is a star. that has not been noticed enough because the franchise has been absolutely positively pathetic. But I think this is a move strongly in the right direction. I love this move by the Chicago Bulls. And let me just say this as an aside. Otto Porter, I must confess, the only time, and it's not to knock him, I haven't seen much of him since he departed from Washington because damn it, he hasn't done much. But here's the thing about Otto Porter. It's pretty sad. When the first thing you think about when you think about Otto Porter is the Shaq and the Fool moment when he was standing on the wing and he forgot and the defender ran all the way to the – this is when Randy Whitman was coaching the Wizards. And he ran, and the guy he was defending ran all the way to the other side of the court, Molly, before Otto Porter realized that he was going for right in front of him. It is my all-time favorite moment of Shaq and the Fool with the crew. Look at Shaq and the Fool. Google it with him, Kenny.
That's Barton. Dana Locks. That's a great segment.
And Ernie Johnson, the great Ernie Johnson, him, class personified. Even he couldn't stop laughing. And Kenny Smith's always trying to find something. He always trying to find a beautiful, just a silver
lining. You were here
lining.
In studio passing the phone around. Look at this.
A silver lining. And Kenny Smith was like, we got to see that again. That's how funny it was. I'm just telling you. That's what I think about when I think about Otto Porter, okay? Not his game. That appearance on Shaq.
I don't think about that with Otto Porter. I think about the danger in when a guy has a limited role,
yep,
and you see what he can do, paying him thinking if you expand the role, he can do that over 35 minutes, more and more. He's valuable
if you use him right.
Vucevic is an enormous move. And you know what it indicates about Chicago? Because he's got about 30 years old now.
Yes.
It means that they're trying to win now. I know they have a sub-500 record. But when you look at the talent on the team, and you named it, Markkanen was, you knew he was going to be good out of that draft, and he is, and he does it with size. And obviously, Zach LaVine is like bordering, in a weird way, because he's under the radar, on superstardom, considering how efficiently he can score, plus his athletic ability. His athletic ability is as good as anyone's ever, and he can shoot now. And as you said, he's averaging close to 30 a game. You're bringing in a center. It's not that he doesn't have a weakness, but with such a good overall game with size, he can score, he can pass. His defense kind of reminds me of like James Harden's, by reputation, not good, but if you watch him, actually pretty good. I think he's a pretty good defender. I think he's just an excellent all-around player that would work like on any team. And the Bulls, you put him with Zach LaVine, you really have something, not just the rest of this year, but going forward.
I agree. Yeah. And this is not good news for the Knicks. You understand? Because I'm loving what I'm seeing from my Knicks. They're committed to their culture. Not necessarily expected to make any moves, even though they're talking about Victor Oladipo. That would just be a cap thing because he's in the last year of his deal, paying him $21 million. He's looking for a new contract. I'm not sure that's the right way to go. But with the Bulls, by making a move like this, they're looking at the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference. We got Philly and Milwaukee on a separate level. We look at Miami. They've been playing well as of late. They're inching towards there. Everybody else is in the middle, you see? And Chicago is saying, excuse me, we're trying to make top four.
No, this tells me also, not just for this year, but going forward, they're not done. They're going to do something else major because they're putting something together here.
Yeah, they're putting something together. I like the move.
Well, let me get to the team in New York that actually puts them in together, that can really do something, and that's not the Knicks. That would be the Nets. So the Brooklyn's Big Three did not suit up last night in the Nets' blowout loss to the Utah Jazz. James Harden sat out with neck soreness, but earlier in the day, Charles Barkley made news with some high praise for Mr. Harden.
I know I'm going to probably get criticized for saying this. This guy might be the best basketball player in the world. I mean, he might be the best player in the world. I've always thought he was the best offensive player. He wasn't as great as Michael and Kobe. But I said a few years ago, and people laughed at me, he's the best offensive player I've ever seen. But right now, no disrespect to LeBron or Giannis or anybody, James Harden might be the best basketball player in the world, period.
Best basketball player in the world, Max Kellerman. Can the Nets win a title with Harden as their best player?
Yes, they can. I mean, he's got to come up big in the playoffs, which he hasn't done yet. He hasn't just maintained himself, let alone elevated when it matters most. But just because you haven't done it in the past doesn't mean you can never do it. Look at Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers this year. And he was an all-time choker. He got it together, right? Peyton Manning was an all-time choker in the playoffs, like in terms of where he fell from, you know, and then eventually he beats Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game and with the money on the line, and he played really well. James Harden can do it, but here's what's more important. I know what you're thinking, like, he ain't better than Kevin Durant. And by the way, I know what Charles Barkley's talking about. A couple weeks ago, I said, for the first time watching James Harden in his career, when my eyes are on him, I think, that's the best player in the world. Might be, right? That's his overall game is just out of control right now. He's playing such great basketball. He can be the best player on a championship team, on this team, even with KD on it. Know why? Because this Nets team is so lethal that if KD comes back as 80% of himself, they're still going to win the championship. KD at 80%, let's say, is a Paul George-level player. Yep. You add a guy like that to what we're – they can bear. Do you understand? When Harden and Kyrie are together, they almost never lose. They set the West Coast on flames on that road trip. 5-0, playing excellent teams. They almost never lose when Harden and Kyrie. Now you're going to add even an 80% KD. You can win the whole thing. And guess what? On that team, on a team with an 80% KD, the best player will be James Harden. Yep, I think it can happen.
I don't. And I think James Harden is absolutely positively fantastic. And he's worthy of MVP consideration. And he's having a stellar year. But in order to beat LeBron and AD, because I'm going to think positive that they're both going to be healthy. Obviously, everything is contingent on health. But I'm going to be positive and think they're going to be healthy. There's nobody outside of Brooklyn that's going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers. And the only way Brooklyn is going to beat the Los Angeles Lakers is if Kevin Durant is healthy. If Kevin Durant is not healthy, Kyrie Irving and James Harden is not beating LeBron James and Anthony Davis. It will not happen. It's just that simple to me. And so, as a matter of fact, they might not even get out of the East because when – you know what? We got to give pause – we got to take a pause for a second and give Milwaukee. Some love to the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah. I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks have been balling, okay? They won 13 of their last 14. Yeah. I think they won like 7 or 8 straight. Giannis is averaging 29 and 11.
Yep.
You know, I mean, look at their defense. Look at their perimeter shooting. Look at the additions that they've got in Jrue Holiday. Now you got P.J. Tucker there. You still got the rest of the crew there. I'm not sleeping on Milwaukee at all. And Philadelphia, let's face reality. When Embiid comes back, they're going to be incredibly formidable. We can't summarily dismiss them. So I don't know if Brooklyn will even get out the East without Kevin
Question.
Durant. Now, with Kevin Durant, there's nothing to talk about.
Question.
They'll beat everybody.
Okay, but let's say you take my scenario. KD comes back, because remember, just Kyrie and James Harden are impossible, right? KD comes back, but he's not fully himself. In other words, he's great, but Harden is better than that version of KD. Do they win the championship? Because I say yes.
If Harden's
that level KD, yes.
Harden's better than what? I don't understand.
In other words, KD comes back as a version of himself that's not 100%. Still, it's still a great player, but it's not the best KD. Harden's better than best KD.
I'm not saying that KD is required to be 100%.
Well, wouldn't Harden be better than that, dude?
No. If KD was at 85, 90%, that's still better than Harden.
I don't think so.
Oh,
not than this Harden.
Oh, yes.
Not than this Harden.
But listen, you got to remember, Harden is running the show, and we're seeing something totally different from him, and I totally get that. But when they're three on the court together, man, they're like this. Okay, it's your turn. Okay, it's your turn. That's all it is. It's playground. I mean, they're just having a – they're toying with people because they're so lethal offensively. Harden runs the show when KD is not on the court.
Yep.
When KD and Kyrie are on the court with them, your turn.
By the way, Claxton.
Your turn. My turn. All right, let's get Joe and Jeff involved and TLC. And let's get Bruce Brown. Let's get them involved
Claxton's
a little bit.
Claxton's coming back.
Okay? Yeah.
By the way, I mean, like, they're going to be impossible.
Impossible. It's possible. KD only need to be 85%.
Yeah. Harden, by the way, think of every player who ever lived who combined this level of passing and floor generalship, right, with this level of shooting. Ever.
Yeah.
Ever. Who combined those two things?
Harden
I know what
special.
Charles Barkley
Harden
means.
Harden special. Kyrie has
and
been special this year. You can
like
rely
that.
On him to play. Once he when he plays, he's been absolutely sensational. And KD, again, I'm still concerned about his health. But he comes back. He's 85, 90%. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Parties.
It's
over.
A wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
All right, fellas, do you remember today's the trade deadline, March 25th, 3 p.m. Yeah. Eastern? I have updates for you. Brian Windhorst is going to join us in a second. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. It's the trade deadline, y'all. Kyle Lowry has been at the center of trade deadline conversations with our Adrian Wojnarowski saying the following. Lowry is very much available. Philadelphia, the Miami Heat, there are a number of teams engaged. The Raptors, they're going to work with Lowry on where he might like to play if they're going to do a deal. But here's one team not to rule out. That is the Lakers. On that note, we bring back our Brian Windhorst in Windy. I understand there's a little action happening. So what's the latest here? Break it down for us.
Here we go, Molly. We're full speed ahead. The action is rolling. The Toronto Raptors have let people know this morning that the two teams in the lead for Kyle Lowry are the Philly 76ers and the Lakers, with Philly in first position right now. That puts the Heat in third place. Kyle Lowry is preparing to be traded to the 76ers. Now, in talking to executives around the league, they believe that this is a last-ditch move by the Raptors to get Toronto to or to get Miami to improve their offer. The last I had heard, Duncan Robinson was in the deal, but Tyler Hero was not. And only the Raptors know whether or not getting Tyler Hero would change their viewpoint. One of the factors here, guys, is that Kyle Lowry, he was 35 today. His camp has let it be known to any suitors out there that he's looking for a two-year contract in the neighborhood of $50 million this offseason. So you don't want to pay a lot for him in terms of assets if he's going to walk on you. And so you're not just trading for him, but you're trading for him knowing that you may have to give him, a guy in his mid-30s that kind of money this offseason to keep him. So that's a factor here. So Philadelphia fans, you're closer than you were to Kyle Lowry than you were last night, but it's not done because Miami still has a window. Let's see how this plays out.
Brittany, Wendy, work with me on this particular situation. I'm going to be a touch long-winded here, but listen to where I'm going. On Miami's end, I'm not giving up Tyler Hero nor Duncan Robinson personally, and it's not a matter of Kyle Lowry not being better than Duncan Robinson, but Duncan Robinson is young. He's a sniper with tremendous promise. I'm not giving him up. That's number one. I look at Philadelphia, and as much as I love Kyle Lowry with Doc Rivers in Philadelphia, if you give Kyle Lowry the ball as your point guard, what does that do with Ben Simmons, who refuses to shoot a perimeter shot? That's a question mark for me as well in terms of taking the ball out of his hands. And then in the case of the Los Angeles Lakers, who are they talking about giving up to get a Kyle Lowry? Or what are they talking about to give up to get a Kyle Lowry?
Yeah, so the offer that it would take something in the neighborhood of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Dennis Schroeder, and Wesley Matthews. That's the type of trade they would have to make. I can't say for sure that's the exact offer. But the interesting thing there is the Lakers have had talks with Dennis Schroeder about a contract extension. They have not been able to reach an agreement. And Toronto is one of the teams that is believed to be interested in Schroeder come this summer. So this would be sort of a flop out of Schroeder for Lowry. And then you sign Lowry and not Schroeder. Whether or not you think that's a good move or not is debatable. The thing with Duncan Robinson, he's also a free agent. And, he may command a three-point shooter like this. He may command something in the neighborhood of $18 to $20 million a year. So you may be deciding if you're Miami, whether you want to pay Kyle Lowry that kind of money or whether you want to pay Duncan Robinson that kind of money. But I have to say that this is sort of to what we expected in these talks. We expected it to be sort of intense with a game of chicken coming down to try to juice the offers. Because as of last night, it just didn't look like Philly and Miami had put forth their best offers possible. And whether or not Philly has changed it or not, I'm not sure. Whether or not Miami is willing to increase it or not, I'm not sure. Whether Toronto truly believes what they're putting out there, I'm not sure. It's all a bluff game right now, but that's the information that's coming out of Toronto.
Daryl Morey versus Masai Ujiri. I mean, GM's got to be wary of dealing with either one of those guys because they seem to win a lot of trades. By the way, I bet you THT is, and I don't believe there's a Lakers deal, but if there is, I bet you Masai is looking at THT. What is this Lonzo Ball news?
So the Chicago Bulls making this big move for Nikola Vucevic today, as you guys just mentioned a minute ago. Major move also signals a fire sale in Orlando. Woj has already reported Evan Fournier may be headed to Boston in addition to Vucevic going out. So now watch Chicago and Lonzo Ball. Chicago is ticketed to have in excess of $20 million in salary cap space this summer. But now, by taking on Vucevic and Al-Farouq Aminu, they will not have salary cap space. So if they want Lonzo Ball, they get his rights. Today is the day that they need to get him. And they have been in talks with the Bulls, and they still have the ability to do that. They still have the assets left to make that type of deal.
Which assets?
If not Lonzo Ball. They have Lauri Markkanen, and they have other picks that they can offer as well. Markkanen's also a free agent to be. The other thing I would watch if you're the Bulls, I have heard within the last 24 hours there's been some conversations with the Bulls and the Trailblazers on Gary Trent Jr., like Lonzo, also a restricted free agent to be. Again, I would watch for Lauri Markkanen in one of those possible deals or elsewhere. But the Bulls, I do not think, are done. And Lonzo, I'm sure, is watching this very closely. I do think there's some significant interest in Lonzo in the Bulls. I think he maybe thought of it as a free agent destination this summer, but now the things have changed with this big trade.
Yeah, but Chicago, even with Lonzo, they wouldn't go. But so far, if you Lonzo, man, it's a damn shame you can't get to the Clippers because, my God, do they need him. They need him bad.
Lonzo on the Bulls, or they're building
something.
Have made
an offer, Stephen A.
The Clippers? I'm sorry?
The Clippers have made an offer for Lonzo Ball, but they're very limited in what they can offer. Basically, it would be expiring contracts and second-round draft picks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about the Lakers, Wendy? Anything there?
So keep an eye on the Lakers. Obviously, they're trying to be aggressive to upgrade. One guy to keep an eye on. Keep an eye on Terrence Ross, a high-quality backup with the Orlando Magic. If Vucevic and Aaron Gordon are for sale and Fournier is for sale, then Terrence Ross might be for sale too. Terrence Ross was formerly represented by Lakers GM Rob Pelinka, and the Lakers, I think, would have some interest in him. He's been on the Lakers list in the past, so keep an eye on the Lakers maybe trying to see if Orlando is how hard they want to sell.
All right. Let's go to the Celtics now, guys, here. Wendy, sit tight here on this one. So it's not looking great for the Boston Celtics, who have lost 10 road games, in an 11-game span for the first time since 2014. They're currently in the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. Stephen A., what trade must the Celtics make to ensure a playoff appearance?
Well, to me, it's Aaron Gordon. I like Aaron Gordon with the Boston Celtics. I like Aaron Gordon with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I think they need something like that. You tried it with Gordon Hayward, and obviously he was coming back from that nasty injury he suffered in his very first regular season game as a Boston Celtic in Cleveland. I was there. It was a real nasty injury. It's good to see him back in the league and doing some real decent things down in Charlotte right there. But I look at Aaron Gordon as a skywalker. I think that he's got a lot of athletic talent, and I think you pair that with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I think you can do some things. You can end up being one of the top three or four teams in the Eastern Conference, which is exactly where Boston should have been. I don't know what the hell has been going on with them, even with Tatum and Brown. They have no business being two games under 500 at this point in the season and being an eighth seed in the Eastern Conference. I don't know what the hell is going on, but I definitely think that Aaron Gordon would be an upgrade.
If Gordon's shot ticks up a little bit, he's a very, very good player. Wendy, to my way of thinking, the Celtics are now in a conference with the Brooklyn Nets big three. There is no permutation where you just add a good piece and you're even going to compete with that team. Forget that. The Bucks are loaded. The Sixers are loaded. To me, it seems like this Vucevic deal that was just made is the kind of deal they need for a big-time big, a modern big, a Porzingis or someone like that. Although Mark Cuban said he wouldn't be available. Carl Anthony Towns, who's not what he had, one winning season in his career, not in a great situation there. They got to put together a package and move heaven and earth to put a piece like that with these two forwards, and then they can compete in the East. Is there any rumbling of any major move for a piece like that by anyone, let alone the Celtics?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Celtics have had talks about acquiring Fournier and Gordon from the Magic. But as you mentioned, Max, they have to evaluate what their chances are with that team. Can they beat Philly or Brooklyn or Milwaukee? And I think Miami has to ask the same question. If we give up all of these assets for Kyle Lowry, does our core beat Philly and Brooklyn? And maybe they do. I mean, Jimmy Butler certainly believes he can beat anybody on any day. But I think that the salary cap and tax is an issue for the Celtics. It was one of the reasons they were reluctant to do a Gordon Hayward pure sign and trade. They were keeping an eye on their salary. And I think that's a factor here. The Fournier move, I do think, will put them in a luxury tax. We'll see what else might go back to Orlando in that deal. But Aaron Gordon, the Denver Nuggets have made an offer that is has a decent chance. And like I said to you guys earlier, this is a key moment for Orlando. The moves that they make today will set where they're going and their foundational future. And so if you're negotiating with Orlando right now, you're negotiating with young players and draft picks, and you have to have something that they like. And so that is certainly a factor, in how this might play out. And I also just heard another thing I'll just give you guys, because I just heard it. I just heard about some talks between the Clippers and maybe acquiring Rajon Rondo from the Atlanta Hawks under discussion.
Well, they should have had him at the beginning of the year.
They were saying they couldn't afford him. He had to go to Atlanta to get his money, but that's who they originally wanted.
Playoff Rondo.
So things are moving now, guys. I think in the next couple of hours, we're going to see quite a bit of movement. Whether or not there's a bigger star than Vucevic traded, we'll see. But you've got the Lakers trying to make moves for the Clippers, the Nuggets, the 76ers. There's a lot of contenders trying to make moves.
Your thoughts real quick about how the Sixers would utilize Kyle Lowry and whether or not that would have a negative impact on Ben Simmons. Your thoughts?
Well, it's multi-layered because obviously he's a terrific wing defensive player. He's a pressure player. He's a guy who can deliver. He's a leader. But it gives the Sixers a two-level approach. They could play this postseason with Kyle Lowry and see how it goes. And then if they don't think that this team's a championship team, I mean, maybe they win the title. I don't know. It certainly helps them getting a championship-level player. But also it opens the door to maybe them looking at the market for Ben Simmons again this summer. Because if you have Kyle Lowry in-house, while he's not your long-term solution at point guard, he does enable you to think about maybe what kind of big fish you could maybe go out and get with Ben Simmons because you've got Lowry there. Let me give you an example. I'm not saying this would happen. An example is maybe they go and see if Ben Simmons could land them Bradley Beal. And if you have Kyle Lowry in-house, all of a sudden that's a very seamless transition. So it gives you sort of two bites at the apple. But still, I don't think Daryl Morey is in the mood to overpay here. So I don't think he's going to offer all the picks and all the young players. I think he'll make his offer and hope that it's better. And if he doesn't get Kyle Lowry, he may make another move, but he likes his team.
Wendy, great info by you. Thank you so much for being with us. And we know you'll continue to be all over the network today. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Gentlemen, I want to keep this one rolling here. One thing I want to get your thoughts on, Max, as limited number of fans are being allowed back into the Madison Square Garden, the drama in the garden is back too. On Tuesday night, a fan posted a video being kicked out of MSG by arena security for wearing a Ban Dolan shirt. We know that James Dolan has a well-documented history of kicking out individuals who are critical of him and the job he's doing with the Knicks. The fan later posted a photo of the actual T-shirt. And MSG spokesperson told the New York Post, our policy is and will continue to be that if you are disrespectful to anyone in our venues, we will ask you to leave. Max, go.
That is the dumbest thing I ever heard. And it's infuriating because Dolan thinks you're dumb. Hey, Knicks fans, Dolan thinks you're idiots, apparently. What? It's disrespectful to have a Ban Dolan shirt? Are you not allowed to boo players now? Are you not allowed to chant, let's say, fire the coach? Is that off limits too? Because that's the equivalent of Ban Dolan. Why does it even say Ban Dolan in the first place? Why Ban Dolan? Because Dolan is banning fans. That's why they're banning stars like Charles Oakley. from the team. That's why there's even a Ben Dolan thing in the first place. This is an appalling abuse of power. It's within his power to do this. That's why it's abusing his power. It's a petulant bully abusing his power. And you would think that if your daddy handed you everything you got in this world, you would approach owning the Knicks. You've done a horrible job owning the Knicks, by the way. They're a laughingstock almost every year. You would approach it with a little more humility and maybe a little more sense of self and even maybe a sense of humor about yourself when in a sporting arena, a fan with no profanity or anything just makes a joke. People are serious. They want you gone, Dolan. Knicks fans want you gone. You're awful. But Ben Dolan. And think about this, Stephen A. This is what I mean about the Knicks. Every time they take one step in the right direction, two steps in the wrong direction. Leon Rose, World Wide West, Thibodeau. Everything's looking good. People are feeling good. They're going to go get a star. This will always happen. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the worst owner in the NBA, Jim Dolan.
I'm so disgusted, I don't even know where to begin. Thank God we don't have much time because I'm scared of what I would say today. Max Kellerman, what did I just say 2 weeks ago about the Knicks? I said, Leon Rose, hell of a job. He's doing a hell of a job. World Wide West, William Wesley, helping change the culture along with my man Scott Perry, the GM. Tom Thibodeau. They are changing the culture. They are a 500 team. If the playoffs were to begin today, they would be in it. And what does this? I said, as long as this man just stays the hell out of the way, and what does he do? Once again, the child that is supposed to be a grown man that owns the New York Knicks steals headlines from the basketball team because of his petulance and his thin skin. It is embarrassing. It is just so, it ticks me off so bad because once again, here he is getting in the way. James Dolan doesn't realize that when he does stuff like that, it makes it harder for Leon Rose and William Wesley and others to do their jobs because you have to sell the New York Knicks as an attractive commodity because they have a grown man as an owner who's a child, who's a child. He will not grow up. So what? I don't recall Dolan throwing out a whole bunch of people when numerous coaches of his and fans would chant for them to be fired. It wasn't disrespectful then. But since they aim in your direction, suddenly this is. And by the way.
No profanity.
And by the way.
Nothing like that.
Doesn't it make Charles Oakley even that much more believable about how he said he wasn't really saying much to James Dolan, but Joe Dolan took it that way? This is the problem. A national embarrassment.
Want to know why KD and James Harden and Kyrie are in Brooklyn? I give you Jim Dolan.
All anybody's asked for him to stay the hell out of the way and let the basketball team do what it's doing. And he can't do that. What? Oh, I was going to call him something on national television, but I ain't going
to do it. Now, but I got nothing. Max, Stephen A., we'll run it back tomorrow, just like the Bucks.